This is Pound in Victory.
Triggered it is Pastor Tim and I were recording a podcast episode. Is your mic on, by the way?
Mine?
Oh, yeah. There he is. And we were talking, and the peanut gallery over here just could not help herself. She just had all the thoughts and input.
Where was this at?
My house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Usually I fall asleep when Tim's doing his podcast. Because of the sound of his voice.
Yeah, it's soothing.
I don't know if other married people are like that.
But it's hard to edit out an occasional. And she goes.
That's not.
When she's like just falling asleep, she goes,
Don't tell all my secrets.
It's so funny. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Has like an instinctive reaction where she's learned how to fall asleep straight up.
So her hair don't get mussed. So for those who couldn't hear Joe, Pastor Lynette has a unique, we'll say God-given ability to fall asleep, you know, higher the hair, closer to God.
I tell you that this is not the teaching. I don't know where these guys are coming from.
Pastor Tim's awfully quiet.
Yeah. I'm not going to hear it later.
You'll hear about me, Joe.
Okay,
and
if you would turn to Luke chapter 10. Okay, and then we're going to go to verse 30. And this is a story about a man who helped another man. And you know the story very well. Today we're going to talk to you about kindness. Does anybody realize that there's no kindness in the world anymore? Everybody seems to be for their own selves. It's all about their family and nobody else's family. And they'll just, like, I should give you an example. My son Brian was going to CVTC, and he was in college, and he was doing very well, and it was winter time, and he has trouble keeping his pants up, and because of, you know, having cerebral palsy, and he fell down on the ice, and his books went everywhere, and he was laying there, and the people were walking past him. And not one of them offered to give him any help to get up. That is horrible. And I just, you know, I think that we just need to come to a place where we prefer others above ourselves. Mm-hmm. Pastor Tim does it for me all the time. As I've been going through the healing from the car wreck and on my knees and the different things that I've went through, he does whatever he needs or can do to help me at home, you know, to help us. We, just the two of us, live there. And so there's dishes to do, there's cooking to do, there's laundry to do, all this different stuff. And he'll pitch right in. And those dogs, you know, those puppies, they're there and they want to be taken and put outside and brought in and all this kind of stuff. And so it's a kind act on his part to help me. And I asked the Lord what we should talk to you about today, and he brought me to a verse, and it's in the Passion Translation. Have you heard of that translation? So I'm going to ask Chrissy if she would read that. It's in Hebrews. I know we were going to go to Luke, but Hebrews 13:16.
We will show mercy to the poor and not miss an opportunity to do acts of kindness for others, for these are the true sacrifices that delight God's heart.
Okay, let's slow that down a little bit.
We will show mercy to the poor.
So when you show mercy to the poor, what are you doing? How do you show mercy to the poor? Feel free to just jump right in, Gary.
Well, can I just, before...
Yeah, jump.
Okay. I want to talk about the difference between being nice and being kind.
Okay, go ahead.
Because there's a big difference, and we're often accused in the, here in the North, in the Midwest, of being Midwest nice. That is not necessarily kind. You can be nice to someone, but not have an ounce of kindness in your heart, because niceness is a social construct. It's dictated that it's required we be nice to one another, right? We tell the kids in the family, now be nice. Meanwhile, you know, deep down, they want that toy back, and they don't care what they got to do to get it. You know what I mean? So they're going to be nice because social convention dictates that they must be nice. You might smile at somebody on the outside or give them the last cookie, but on the inside, you're not wishing them well. You know what I mean? And we see these sort of vapid, shallow acts of niceness, and they're almost passive aggressive, because on the inside, the posture and condition of your heart is not exhibiting kindness as a fruit, right? So there's a difference between being nice. Being nice is your friend has lipstick on her teeth and you're too nice to say something. Kindness is it's going to embarrass her for a second, but you got to tell her so that she doesn't go the rest of her day with lipstick on her teeth. You have to, sometimes kindness doesn't feel nice, but it's the right thing to do.
Wow, that was pretty good.
Thank you.
Did you know that kindness reveals your nature?
Yeah, I agree.
Not everybody is kind.
No.
I believe that when you get baptized in the Spirit, that you become a kind person. And the reason why I believe that is because it's one of the gifts of the Spirit, or not the gifts
the
of the Spirit, but the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness is one of the, I think it's one of the last, the later ones that it mentions, but you want to be kind to people. And you want to treat them nice and be considerate of their feelings. Now, I didn't say that I have mastered this yet, but I'm trying. Okay, so it reveals your own nature. So that means that you could look at Ryan back here, and you can watch his body language, and you can hear what he says out of his mouth. And you can learn a lot about him right then. Is he a kind person or is he a nice person? Maybe he's both. So it's important that we learn about kindness. And I think if the church starts to do kind things and think of each other, and like the Bible says, prefer one another above yourself, that it's going to make a change in this world. Because it's like contagious. If somebody's always nice to you, you don't want to be mean to them, right? If somebody's losing their temper, don't do what Pastor Tim does, because it's aggravating. He stops talking. He gets real quiet.
Yeah.
Yesterday I had a lady. I went to Walmart and I was going to drop him off at the door. And she rode my bumper so close, I couldn't see her lights. So if I had even tapped my brakes, she would have hit me. And we just got our car fixed. $7,000 worth of fixing on that car, because the boys threw a football out here and smashed a big dent in it. But the thing is, I went to turn into that little area where you pick up your medicine, just to turn around, and don't you just know this, Rita? She followed me, and when she followed me and she just kept right close to my bumper, I lost it.
For some insight, once Pastor Lynette called the police on the police.
I did.
for following her for a long distance. And she felt harassed in her own town. So
I did do that, honestly.
She did, honestly,
do that. I was so upset that the police officer was following me and he wouldn't leave me alone that I called the police on him.
Will you tell your officer to go find something to do? I don't think, last time I checked, this America, it ain't illegal to drive down my street.
So, he didn't pull me over.
No.
No, he just went around me a couple more times. A little aggravation, you know. And then he left. So maybe that's a thought, too, to call the police on the police.
Listen, I backed the blue, but this blue is backing me. And if you don't get this guy off my tail, yeah.
So anyhow, Pastor Tim had to hear my rant.
Yeah, I heard part of it,
and
too.
And then when he went in the store, I had to repent. Yeah, it was not a pretty thing that happened. Mm-hmm. But it happens a lot where people just like ride you all the way to town and you're like, Lord, help me, I'm going to blow. I'm not the only one, am I? No. So anyway, that's what happened yesterday. I didn't get a chance to be kind to that woman, but I feel I was kind of kind by not hitting my brake. Seriously. Okay, mm-hmm. So kindness reveals your nature. And, oh, really?
Mm-hmm. She's got stuff to add.
Hebrews 13:16, I like this. We will show mercy to the poor. Is it poor in spirit or poor in the physical? Mm-hmm. How many of you have given money to these people standing on the corner? Well, Ryan has, Max, Heidi, me, and if you ever have Jazzy with you, me again, mm-hmm. because she's like grandma.
And you don't give money, she's like, wow.
I know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It's true. She like
But one
dominates.
Could argue that it's nice to give them some money, but it's kind to extend an offer for work and pray over them.
That's true.
Right?
Unless it's a lady from Pakistan or somewhere that has...
Shout out, Pakistan.
That has three little tiny babies like yesterday I saw. One was really tiny on the boiling hot street corner. I'm like, oh, come on. So, you know, then you can't really offer her work. And yeah,
right.
Such as
but
I
you could
had
pray
to
over.
Buy unto thee. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell her to get up and walk, though. She'll look at me a little strange, like, I'm just sitting here. The next thing is, do not miss an opportunity to do acts of kindness for others. What kind of opportunities have you had lately to do kindness for others? Anything? Or has it all been about you?
You know who's really good with acts of kindness is Pastor Tim.
He's not talking.
I know, but I'm going to engage him. So he will.
Yes, he will.
But when I was living alone for a while, and during that time I was real sick, and I was working a lot, and there was just a lot going on in life. And I would come home, and my freezer would be stocked. My house would be clean. All my dishes would be done. I gave him a key. And Pastor Tim would come to my house while I wasn't home, and he would do all that for me just to help me out. And he wouldn't even call and be like, there's a surprise for you when you get home. Like, nothing like that. It was just, he would silently go in, do all that, and then leave, and I would just find it that way. He's good at random acts of kindness that way.
Well, Paul said in his letters to the church, he said, be kind to one another. Mm-hmm. That was his instruction. So, we just adhere to the scriptures. And it works very well.
You know, I find it interesting because and I think Joe can attest to this too, throughout our lives, we've witnessed so many unkind things that have happened to them. as pastors. That's very common, that people say unkind things, they act in an unkind way, but you guys continue to exhibit kindness to people. And like I said, there's a difference between niceness and kindness, and I've watched Pastor Lynette, for example, be very kind to people, but it's perceived as not necessarily nice, right? Because you tell them something that is hard to hear. But why do you guys think it is that, what do you have in mind? What helps you persevere and push through and continue to act in a kind manner despite the things that you guys have been through?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind is that I have to decrease, that he may increase in me. Because on my own, with my personality, I can't do it. You guys don't know me completely. I like things, like I said before, done a certain way, and that's the right way. And I guess I might have been raised that way. Or maybe some of the other ladies are that way too, I don't know. But we have to let God work through us instead of, you know, getting upset. What do you think, Tim?
Well, one of the things I think is, first of all, a lot of people don't get taught. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of Christianity is emotional.
Yeah.
And people like to keep it that way because it keeps people coming.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Jesus had multitudes walk away on him. And I've never had that happen where 5,000 get out and walk out and just have 12 people sitting there. But that'd be quite a thing to endure.
Mm-hmm.
So he's our pattern. And I wasn't always kind. I mean, my change happened when I got born again. And through the born again experience, you take on the nature of the Christ you serve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Christ is an anointing. You have to desire that anointing in your life. And his was to be kind to people. But when you talk about the fruits of the Spirit, the very first one is love.
Mm-hmm.
And there's five different types of love, but the love of Christ is an agape love, and it's without condition. So if you're going to be kind, you have to start out loving people and love them the way Jesus did. You're not looking for a return. It's kind of like the scriptures pertaining to money. The money, the Lord said through his word, he said, if you're going to loan money to people, mm-hmm. loan it without an expectation of a return.
Yeah.
So you just let it go. If they come back with it, they come back with it. Mm-hmm. If they don't, you're still at peace.
Yeah.
You can be kind to them anyway. So kindness has to start with just loving people. Loving them the way Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And he still does. And that'll get you off on the right foot.
When we started, I almost said, who wants to do an over-under on how long it will take for Joe to want to chime in? And Joe wants to chime in. And I said, do you want me to read it, or do you want to read it? He's like, I'll read it.
Oh, it's all right. So kindness in the 1828. Goodwill, benevolence, that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants or alleviating their distresses, benignity of nature, kindness ever accompanies love, act of goodwill, beneficence, and any act of benevolence which promotes the happiness or welfare of others, charity, hospitality, attentions to wants of others, etc., are deemed as acts of kindness. Niceness, on the other hand, is delicacy of perception, the quality of perceiving small differences. as niceness of taste, extreme delicacy, excess of scrupulousness, or exactness. So sometimes you're just straight to the point. That's being nice. Don't let them, hey, there's a hole where that puddle is. If you step in it, it's deeper than it looks. Accuracy, minute exactness, as niceness of work, niceness of texture or proportion. So there's a huge difference between being nice, because you can be nice to somebody you don't like. Most people are not kind to people they don't like. You can be nice and turn the other cheek to somebody that's in enmity with you, but when you're kind to somebody, you're doing as Christ did, and you're looking past their fault, and you're saying, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, and then you act according to what God's will and purpose is instead of what they deserve. It falls into grace. Grace is you getting what you don't deserve. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve forgiveness of sin. We don't deserve reconciliation because we're constantly falling short of the glory of God. But in that place of grace, we get what we don't deserve. We get forgiveness and all the other good things.
The other part of this, the last part of this verse is really key, because it says, these acts of kindness for others are the true sacrifices that delight God's heart. Have you ever wanted to delight God's heart? Well, the sacrifices that you make for other people, they're all recorded by the angels for God. And that delights God's heart. It's like when we put before the throne as a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. And he enjoys that. Well, when he sees you and I do, decreasing that and increasing on behalf of others through God and making sacrifices, not doing what we want to do, but doing what someone else wants or needs, then that delights his heart. He's happy about it.
We had a conversation, you and I, recently, where we were talking about tone of voice. And the way that we talk to one another or talk to other people is how we were spoken to. So if the way that we apologize to other people, if we apologize to other people, is because we were apologized to as children. So if those things don't occur, and so sometimes it's really hard for people to know what to say or to how to articulate an apology, but that to me says oftentimes they weren't apologized to as a child, right? And I think sometimes when people come from really, I mean, we see people come from very sordid backgrounds, right? Like they've been through a lot. They've maybe have gone through abuse and neglect their whole life. And sometimes it's hard for them to exhibit kindness because it's never been shown to them. But we have all these examples in the Bible of God's kindness. I mean, the Bible is, people refer to it as an owner's manual. They refer to it as all sorts of things. But really, it's a love letter from him to us. And how often do you get the opportunity to read the love letter that someone wrote over hundreds of years with you in mind and illustrate how time and time again he was faithful and just and kind and loving, and he gives so many examples for people to go off of. I think that's so cool.
And then he gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in all the pathways he would have us to go.
And as a compass, right? Because a lot of people, we were just talking about this, a lot of people are like, oh, the Holy Spirit got goosies. People might take a lap, you know, during service. You see people, the Spirit get on people and they shake, they fall down. But when they drive out of the parking lot, the Holy Spirit is your, it really takes over as your conscience. Like, he's now your moral compass. He's saying, don't write the check you know is going to bounce. You know, he's saying, don't buy the house if you don't have the finances to back it. He's saying don't marry him or her, you know, every day. It's not just the spiritual. You have to be able, you have to have your ears open and your eyes open to hear and see what the Holy Spirit is guiding you to do or not do during the week. What do you think, Pastor Tim?
Well, again, when we come in the nature and the character of God, I got to put the emphasis on the love. You got to love people.
Yeah.
You know, that was his heart. God created people because he wanted family. Then we enter into a deeper level of it when you get into a fellowship of believers. Mm-hmm. Because that family's closer than blood. And then when your instructions are be kind to one another, you know, the scriptures put us all together. The scriptures give us the foundation. They give us our building up. Mm-hmm. So if we don't follow them, we're going to be right back in the same rut we were before. We have to stay scriptural at all times. Mm-hmm. And let that be our character. Let that be our nature. That's why teaching is important.
Yeah.
Teachers were highly lifted up in Bible times. You know, they were lifted up higher than any other ministry because it was so important to have teaching. And that doesn't happen with a lot of people. Sometimes it's their own fault. They won't submit to teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't get offered teaching. But you know, how do you progress anywhere in life without teaching? That's why people get put into grade school. That's why they go into junior high school, college. You know, they have to be taught.
Right.
And then when they get into a field, they want to be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's no different with life in general.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be taught. You know, earlier when you were talking, I was thinking, you know, a lot of people never get taught in a family to say, I love you.
Right.
They don't hear it. And then all of a sudden it's some brand new, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When they want to try it themselves. The entire world was created by words. The whole universe was.
Mm-hmm.
God spoke everything he wanted. And then, you know, it's when you start your own home, if you don't build it off of the good things that you say, you're going to get the opposite.
Yeah.
If your kids never hear parents say they love each other, they're never going to know that's a thing to do. If they never see anybody being kind to each other, they're never going to know.
Right.
It all has to start right at home. But, you know, my emphasis is this. The body of Christ should escalate that
mm-hmm.
even greater. Because now we're spiritually bound together in the nature and the character of Christ. If you're going to explode kindness and generosity and things like that, it should be right here.
Yeah.
And the other thing that it added, you started to quote that one verse about kindness, it adds tender-heartedness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Amen.
One thing you said about education, I immediately thought of Julianne, Nick, Steph, Cedric. When you come right out of nursing school, are you ready to go work in the ICU? Like, you know all the things? Julianne's like, no. Right, because there's the book smarts, right? Like you may on paper know all the things or even be able to look it up quick, but it's the practical knowledge, going through it, going through the motions. So you can read the scripture and you can be well versed. You can be able to recite it by heart, but until there's practical application and you actually go out and do the thing, I'm bilingual. I actually could not learn, like, from a book, like, in high school. I often see my high school Spanish teacher because she goes to another church in town, so she's always at the events. And this is really funny. More recently, a lady needed a translator, and she came to me. She failed me in Spanish. First semester, she came to me and said, can this lady sit with you? She needs a translator. I always look at Heidi and I'm like, can you believe this? So book studying for Spanish didn't work for me personally, but being immersed around Spanish-speaking people did. That said, I know a lot of people that they took 4 years of Spanish and they can't take a trip to a Spanish-speaking country without getting out Google Translate. They know it. They know all of the ways to conjugate a verb, but they can't speak it. And it's not until you connect those two things. You take your book smarts and you get on the streets, right, Nick? You take it out on the streets, I'm talking to the Ignite department.
I just said that first, like, you can learn all the verses. You can have a storehouse of verses, but you have to speak those verses into yourself and live them, and then you take it on the streets, because otherwise, when you just come in front of people, you're just speaking verses, and they can, there's spiritual stuff that happens on the streets where people can sense if you're sincere and if you actually are living what you're speaking. You'll see that. And one thing, I was telling the kids this the other day, there's a couple ministers on our team who always get to the final prayer with people. You know, they always get to prayer. And I said, look at how they talk to people and look at their body language. They're living the scriptures. And that's why the people sense that, the sincerity. So, yeah, just learning to just live it and then preach it. A lot of stuff. Yeah, I mean, God called us into ministry, and then to be able to walk fully in that, I mean, we had to give up social partying, drinking. We had to give up entertainment. Like, God put it on our hearts really early that we couldn't just watch whatever TV shows and whatever movies and listen to whatever music. And basically, you have to just immerse yourself in the things of God, the holiness of God, you know, and not have all these secular things of the world influence you, because you can't be in the spirit and in the world, because the flesh is weak and the spirit is what's strong. The flesh is death and the spirit is life. So we have to live in the spirit. No. I use, actually, there's two things I use. Plugged In. You can look that up, Google it, and Common Sense Media. So any show you're going to watch, any movie you're going to watch, if you go to those are Christian sites, you can type in the name of the show. It'll tell you bad language, sexual content, violence, and whatever. So I already know it before I even look at it. And if there's anything sketchy in there, we only have so much time on this earth. We don't need to waste our time with that. We don't need to poison our brains with that stuff.
Yes. I wish they'd do that for commercials. I saw a commercial yesterday that blew my mind. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It was so full of awful stuff.
So,
and it was advertising medicine for AIDS. And it's a new commercial that came out, because I've never seen it before. And I wish that they had a warning of some sort, because the little kids and different people should not be seeing that.
You know, when you were talking, I was thinking how kind it is of God to use the Holy Spirit to convict you on those things, because it prepares you for what's coming. He doesn't have to do that. He could be nice and make you feel nice and not ever correct you. But I think of, like, I heard somebody say that people in New York are kind but not nice, and people in California are nice but not kind. I don't know that that's true, okay? And, you know, in terms of generalizations. But their idea there was, in New York, somebody will stop and they'll help you change your tire in the rain, but they might tell you you're a little bit of an idiot for letting it get as bad as it was, right? Like, they're not necessarily nice about it, but they're kind, and they'll stop and they'll help you. But they'll also be like, wait till you let your tires go bald, big guy, nice job. In California, they might zoom by, beep, beep, cute car, and they just keep going. Like, they won't help you change your tire, you know? But they'll tell you your car is cute. And I think, you know, having that correction it's evidence of God's kindness, because he could just let you keep on keeping on. keep all the bad things, and then it puts you at risk of all these other pitfalls down the road. Right, Pastor Tim?
Amen. I read a little story one time. It was about a woman broke down, had a flat tire, and she was out there trying to change it. She was struggling. And finally a guy stopped, and he says, "Oh, please let me help you." He says, "You shouldn't be out here by yourself doing that, you know." And he starts working on it. And then he starts jacking the car up, you know, and she says, "Would you jack that a little softer?" He thought, "It's a car." But he jacked it up nice and easy. And then he got the tire all changed, and he starts to let down. He started hammering it down. She said, "Please, would you do that a little easier?" And this time she said, "My husband's sleeping in the back seat. He has to work in the morning."
So many people's eyebrows just went into outer space when they heard that. That's so funny.
That's what I thought he would say, too.
They thought he would say the baby's in the back seat.
But the husband's in the back seat sleeping. Yeah.
But the guy was kind.
Yeah.
I had people turn to Luke chapter 10.
Yeah.
And this is the story of the Good Samaritan. It's an act of kindness. Starting in verse 30, it says, "Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he encountered robbers who stripped him of his clothes and belongings, beat him, and went their way unconcerned, leaving him half dead. Now, by coincidence, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also came down to the place and saw him and passed by on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan, a foreigner who was traveling, came upon him. And when he saw him, he was deeply moved with compassion for him and went to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them to soothe and disinfect the injuries. And he put him on his own pack animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, which is 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I return.' Which of these 3 do you think proved himself a neighbor to the man who encountered the robbers?" Which one was the kind person? The Samaritan. So that's, you know, I always feel guilty when I have to pass somebody by that's standing on the street corner with a sign that says, "Need help, will work for money," and all this stuff. And they're way over in the other lane on the other side, and you can't get to them, you know, because there's so much traffic. It's usually out by the mall, and there's so much traffic out there. But Jesus is letting us know that it's the Samaritan man, the foreigner, that was the one that delighted his heart. He was the one that made the Lord happy and glad for him being alive and taking care of his brother, so to speak. So I wanted to bring that out. And then, of course, there's a wonderful love story of Boaz and Ruth, right? That Boaz, I'm telling you, when he spied her, woo, man.
Awooga.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He said to his people, "Leave some of the barley," or whatever it was they were picking, out there on the ground. Just leave some, you know. And then he let her go in and glean it, mm-hmm. pick it up and have it. What's going on here? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Inside jokes. Hope to be part of one someday.
Anyway.
The people online can't hear, but the people in the front row are acting up. Do you know there's a whole...
He provided for her out of kindness.
Do you know gleaners are a thing?
Heidi's yeah, like, yeah, I know that.
There's a pack of crows at our house that
no,
glean everything.
No, but there's like a whole lifestyle. All they do is glean.
Really?
Yeah. And they glean from fields and stuff like that. They take like whatever's left over from crops. They glean from abandoned buildings and take building materials, things like that. But so she must have been a gleaner.
She was gleaning.
Yeah. Therefore,
I don't know if
she's
that's
a gleaner.
Word.
She was gleaning. Yes.
She
you glean from. Hopefully, people are gleaning from what we're saying.
She was.
Yeah. There's a whole
right,
documentary on
gleaning.
She was
alone. Her husband had passed.
Yeah.
And she was with her mother-in-law.
You start talking about Old Testament, Heidi will get real.
Oh, she likes
she'll start fist bumping. Could you say that into the mic?
You were talking about how amazing Ruth and Boaz are, which they are, and I just love the fact that the great-great-grandchild was David.
Oh. So that was another one. Then we have Rahab, who by any means, any opinion, was a bad person.
On paper.
Because she was a harlot.
Right.
And yet when the men came, she recognized them as being people of the Lord. And she hid them so that they wouldn't get killed. That was another kind thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Joshua. What did Joshua do? I'm sorry. Rahab's in Joshua. Zacchaeus was the next one I wanted to mention. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who went and climbed up the tree for his Lord. He wanted to see. You know, the old...
I'm coming to your house today.
Mm-hmm. The Sunday school song.
Can you imagine? It was unkind
by.
For whoever wrote down that he was short. I mean, come on, guys.
So he climbed up in the tree because he wanted to see the Lord. And as the Lord passed by, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree, for I'm going to your house today.
Yeah.
And so it was a kind thing.
Mm-hmm.
Zacchaeus, didn't he repay all of what he had taken from the people? See how kind mm-hmm. that was? Because when you start touching people's money, their attitude changes drastically.
He repaid it with interest,
yeah.
Joseph. Pastor Tim has been talking about how we can't be kind to people unless we're exhibiting the nature of God and starting with love. And it in 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 8, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be the partakers of the divine nature. That's so good. You get through that, through him and through knowledge of God, you get to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Brotherly kindness.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of kindness.
See, that's, I keep going back to nice versus kind. Your brother might create a catapult out of a 5-gallon bucket and
yeah.
a 1x6 and launch you or try to launch you into outer space. That might happen.
That did happen to Christina.
Yeah.
Her brothers, her three brothers, built a catapult.
I thought it was a teeter-totter.
She was just a little thing. She was just a little thing, and she went out to play with her brothers.
Yeah. Joe's defending himself. He, yeah, but...
So they catapulted you out.
Yeah.
And hurt your arm.
It bent, didn't break. I was too little.
I took her to the ER because her arm hurt so bad.
Yeah.
So
anyhow,
they said it didn't break. They said it just bent because her bones were still soft.
Yeah.
That's how young she was.
But let me tell you, for years, I never had to pump my own gas. I never had to put air in my tires. I maybe got stranded at the intersection of 53 and Star Avenue in a cowboy hat. In the left turn lane.
Oh.
Stupid day to wear a new outfit. But who showed up? My brothers. Because deep down, they've always been kind to me. Maybe we haven't always been nice to one another. We've had moments. But I know that no matter what, I can call Joe, and on the third or fourth try, he's going to answer and help me with whatever I need. Or he'll call me right back, you know?
This is not in my notes. Okay, the
it's
next thing is
brotherly kindness.
Who has an ESV Bible? Anybody on your phone? Okay, Chris has it. Can you look up Matthew 7:12? If you want to turn to Matthew 7:12, I don't have a watch on today, so you'll have to. Read it out loud, please, in the microphone.
So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
So that's a golden rule. And that is linked to kindness. Whatever you want people to do to you is what you should be doing to people. Okay, Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Steph, you got that? You got to have a microphone, Jazz or Max. So that's Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Oh, ESV.
And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith.
How about that?
I like that. I use that scripture a lot because of the fact that there has to be a difference between the church and the world.
Yeah.
And that's why that discipline has to be there. That's why the character and the nature of God has to be in a person, because the church has to be noticeably different when somebody comes in here. Mm-hmm. If they don't see any difference between here and any place else they've been, there's an issue. All right? So in order for people to get that anointing to hit them when they come through, it has to be throughout the body.
Yeah.
The whole character and nature of this body has to be that way. You know, a little while ago when you were reading, I wanted to stop you, but I didn't. But because of just one little scripture of what you had been reading was whatsoever you do to the least of one of these, mm-hmm. it's like you're doing it unto me,
yeah.
the Lord said. So if we approach our walk with God with that in mind, whatever we do to anybody, it's just as if we're doing it to him. Mm. And I think if people get a little bit serious and think about it, now there's foolish people all around, and you can find the evidence of it. Even people that, you know, there were some people that's been serving the Lord in their way for 40-some years.
Yeah.
And they got really ridiculous just before they backslid. I mean, they really got out of control. And I'm thinking to myself, were they never serious for 40 years?
Right.
Was this entirely an act that they could turn around and treat people in a church so viciously and then walk out the door and never turn around and come back again. Mm-hmm. That it had been phony from the beginning in order for that to happen. So when we come into the born-again experience, we have to take that serious. And that's why, you know, you've heard me talk about it so much in church. You know, sometimes you wonder when people use it, is it just a term they use because the Bible says it?
Right.
Or have they really experienced the born-again experience?
Yeah.
That they would dare say or do some things to another person where the scripture says, you're doing it to them, you're doing it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that scares me. I don't want, you know, because that's Christ in a person. So we have to be very cautious of that, you know. And it should be nothing hard or coarse about that.
Yeah.
It's just loving him to the fullest extent. And if his nature and the character is in another person, we're doing the same thing mm-hmm. with them as we would with Christ himself. Now, that person I was talking about, you know, there was an argument got in their church right toward the end. And the pastor, you know, in the argument got over drinking alcohol. And the pastor said to him, you mean to tell me if Christ appeared right now, you would be there to open up a bottle of alcohol and start drinking in front of him? He said, not only that, I wouldn't want it for him too, and he'd drink with me, you know. And mm-hmm. where there could be that much of a lack of understanding of the holiness of God after somebody supposedly being Pentecostal for 40 years
yeah.
is beyond me. But there's certainly a few links missing there.
Mm-hmm.
But just the simple scriptures, whatever you say or do to the least of one of these, you're doing it to me. That should ring in everybody's being.
Yeah, I just watched a video of a testimony of a guy who came into the church with a lot of emotional baggage and skepticism and cynicism, and he found himself in a really negative frame of mind all of the time. And he personally committed to 2 weeks. Like, he set a start date and an end date. And for this 2 weeks, no matter what anybody asks me, how they talk to me, anything, I'm going to treat every single interaction as if I'm interacting with Jesus himself. And his life radically changed. Because if his wife asked him, can you take out the trash, rather than saying, yeah, I'll get to it in a minute, he stopped himself and said, what if it was Jesus himself saying, can you please take out this trash? Would I tell Jesus himself, yeah, I'll get to it in a minute? You know, and he started treating every single thing like that. And he came through it, and he couldn't believe the change in himself. He was less cynical, less negative, less of a skeptic. He was overall a kinder, more loving person. And he just committed to 2 weeks. So now, you know, that's his testimony. He shares that all over now and encourages people to do the same, because once you start to do it and you see the evidence and you see it bearing fruit in your life, you'll want to keep doing it.
Yeah, I heard a testimony on radio one day of a ladies group. Mm-hmm. I don't know what there was, 20, 30 of them that gathered together, had these meetings. And one of them put a challenge to the rest of them one day and said, we're going to go the whole next week without entertaining any gossip. No gossip. And when we come back next week, we're going to share with what happened. And when they came back, they said it was the quietest week they ever had. All of them come back and said the same thing.
Didn't hear from nobody this week. Yeah.
If you turn to Colossians 3:12, and if you have the NIV on your phone, you got that, Chris? If I'm skipping anybody that wants to read, let me know. Colossians isn't your normal reading. It's New Testament. 3:12, NIV. 3:12. To find it.
Therefore, God has chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
So we're supposed to actually clothe ourselves with kindness. I was making pies. You know I like to make pies. I like those strawberry cream cheese pies. Anybody here like those? And Robbie way back.
Robbie's hand went way up.
And I loaded it. I loaded this pie. So it was like heaped with all this red juice and, you know, the glaze and all these big, huge red strawberries. And then I put lots of, you know, of the layer of cream cheese in there. And the crust was, it was my crust recipe. It was real flaky and crunchy and all that. And a thought hit me. Take it to your friend. Bless her. So I did. And she took it, you know, she received it and everything. And days went by and I never heard from her. And I thought, wow, that's really weird. Because I know that was a good pie, you know. And I had sweetie pies online. I was making pies, selling them, and Brian was helping me deliver them. And so I called her and I said, well, how'd you like the pie? Well, I took it to my family. They hated your crust. Jeez. It was just like she kicked me in the stomach. I'm like, how can that be? You know?
Did you take the wrong pie?
She said it was all soggy and everything. I'm like, how long did you keep it in your refrigerator? 3 days. Well, you can't do that. You can't keep a pie that's got a nice crunchy, flaky crust, put it in the refrigerator, and leave it there for 3 days, and then take it out, take it to your family. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a soggy mess. And so I was trying to be kind to her. I was trying to bless her, but she got kind of silly, you know, about it. So sometimes your kindness is not rewarded with thankfulness or gratefulness. You need to realize that, like the man who Chrissy was just talking about, that decided he was going to bless whoever came to him for help. And he wasn't going to sit there and say, well, I don't think they'll be grateful, so I'm not going to do it. You know?
Do you have Titus in your notes?
Do I have what?
Titus?
No, I don't. I
okay.
have other ones.
Titus 3. For anybody that's taking notes. Remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil to no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. That's what the Bible tells us to do, by the way. And sometimes the people that are warped and sinning, they get real offended if they receive that. But my point in reading this is
He, even in our state, he extended his kindness, sent his son to redeem us. So when we see someone acting in those exact same ways, we can't just take on offense, cut them out of our life. One thing that's real popular right now is excommunicating people. I'm gonna close the door on these people. My mother-in-law's mean to me. Not mine, but people say, my mother-in-law is so mean to me all the time, I'm cutting her out of my life. I'm cutting her out of my kids' life. I'm distancing myself from the negativity. Show me the chapter and verse.
We had a young guy that came to our church when it was still in the house. We told this story before. And he witnessed to a guy. Did he invite him to church too, Tim?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the guy didn't come. He didn't go for it. And so this young man told him, "You're dead to me." That's what he told him.
Imagine.
You should never do that. Tell people that they're dead to you. Because
well, I didn't see you in church on Sunday. You're dead to me.
I mean, how harsh is that? It's pretty harsh. I had a lot of scriptures written down, but I'm not going to, it's getting late, so I'm not going to.
Did anybody have any questions or thoughts or comments? We can bring the microphone to you. No? Some of you are
Cedric's
just flat out avoiding
so
eye contact.
Cedric's one that does kindness acts all the time.
Cedric got a
hospital.
Sunshine Award for being kind.
Yeah.
From the news.
That?
He was
Let's
on
give
the news.
Him a hand.
Good job.
Good for you, Cedric. He's walking out the word.
Yeah.
I love that. It won't go on the internet if you don't.
I do want to say that the saying is love and kindness, not love and niceness. So I thought of that multiple times. And obviously you can't love without God, so I just wanted to say that those two things go together.
That's a good thought, loving kindness. Did Odessa want to say something? No? How about...
My thought was kindness is based, like everything that you guys have been saying, it's action. It's not speech.
Yep, it's a verb.
So basically, if you're talking about kindness, there needs to be an action involved in it, or you're not doing it properly.
Well, you also have to start with your own home. You know, take a stroll through Titus, and then go back to Titus and take another stroll through there. And then if something hurts your feelings in Titus, read it again. We've personally experienced people that the Bible is clear. It says that there is going to be a great falling away. There's going to be people that experience the goodness of God. They're going to experience the evidence of the Holy Spirit. They're going to speak in other tongues. They're going to see the sick healed. They're going to see the blind recover sight. They're going to see the dead raised. But they're still going to fall away. When we have so much exposure to the miraculous, we can still end up in the same situation as all the people that watched Lazarus risen from the dead. A couple of weeks later, when Jesus was getting nailed to the cross, they were in their homes comfortably feasting. They were taking part in the feast. They weren't at the foot of the cross going, "Oh no, Lord, how did we allow this to happen?" It was the soldiers and stuff that they were there, and they were casting lots for his garments, just like it was said in Isaiah, and Jesus looked upon them, and he said, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." He even died for the ones killing him. But the idea of even stepping out in ministry or anything, we have to be in ministry in our own home. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with Maximus in the last 4 weeks about our conduct, and even said we need to hold each other in covenant. We need to make an agreement and an exchange in covenant that we're not going to be reactive anymore. And has it been perfect? Not even close. Not even close. But we're righteousness conscious. The Holy Spirit's doing a work in our lives, so we're getting closer. Is it hard to remove all the bywords out of your home? We were just talking yesterday. I said we need, I don't care, read a dictionary if the Bible's not doing it alone, but we need to expand our vocabulary. Because a word that's put in place of profane language is still profane language. It's all these little things. The in our house, everything's always been based around a meal. So there's an issue with gluttony in our house. And I'm like the number one for it because I like eating food. I would tell you that I would live vicariously with other cultures through their food. I love to eat Indian food. But there is portion control that has to happen because there's a situation that occurs where we know these only come out by prayer and fasting. If I'm so full of the things of this earth, that spirit that's been in operation for thousands of years on this earth might speak out and say, "Not today, fat man." We have to understand there is a conduct, and it's got to start in our personal home if we want to be walking in His righteousness, seeking His kingdom, so that all these things will be added.